We'd like to ask you this morning, if you will, to please turn in your Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians. We'd like to read from 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We'd like to read verses 3, 4, and 5. I encourage you to follow in the Word of God as we try to study before we begin to read and study from the Word of God. I would ask that you please join your hearts together with me in another moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, Lord, for the bountiful blessings of life. As we have just sung in the upper room, we gather in the quietude of reverence. We forget all our cares, and we thank you, Lord, that amidst all the troubles and problems of life, we're thankful that we have the privilege to be able to assemble ourselves together with our brothers and sisters in Christ. We come together to worship Thee in this hour, in the singing of songs and in prayer and in the study of Thy holy word. Lord, we thank You for every person that's here. Thank You for every family that's represented. We beg Thy blessings upon each individual and each family that's here, upon all of their loved ones, and we pray that You would bless those that are not able to be in the house of the Lord this day, that You would comfort and help and bless them and help us to know what we can do to help other people. Lord, we pray that You would help us all to remember the brevity of life, that we're only going to be here a little while and our lives are fast fleeting away. So help us, Lord, that we would live each day as if it's our last, and help us to do all that we do to Thy name's honor and glory. We pray that You would help us to remember that the whole duty of man is to fear God and keep His commandments. Help us, Lord, to rejoice in the great privilege that we have of knowing the one true and living God, and the privilege that we have to serve Thee in our lives. We pray that You would help us all in this coming week, that You would guide and direct us, that You would give us wisdom and understanding and knowledge and discretion, guide our thoughts and everything that we do. We pray now that You would bless us as we try to study Thy Word in this hour, and bless those again that stand in great need of Thy help. Bless the families that are having trouble and individuals that are having problems that without Your help, they certainly will succumb to the pressures of those problems. So bless each one and help us to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. We pray in the blessed and holy name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning with verse 3. The Word of God says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." If correctly read, that 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. The main thought that's on my heart this morning is an expression in that fifth verse, where the Word of God says, the Apostle Paul, by inspiration of God, says, bringing into captivity every thought. Bringing into captivity every thought. I was talking with my mama this morning, and she said, "What are you going to try to preach about?" And I said, "I feel led to try to preach about bringing into captivity every thought." Her response was, "Ooh, that takes a strong person to do that." That's a true statement, isn't it? It takes a strong person. When you think about bringing anything into captivity, then whatever is going to be brought into captivity, it has to be something that is more powerful, that brings something into captivity. That is, a little child in this building, it's doubtful that a little child could hold me and restrain me and hold me captive just using their hands. Isn't that doubtful that they could hold me, because I would be stronger than they are? But there's something that the Word of God teaches that needs to be and must be brought into captivity, and that's what the Word of God is talking about here, bringing into captivity every thought. I believe that there are two extreme beliefs about our thoughts. I believe that there are some people that think that if you think it, you might as well do it. And that's a lie from the devil. I want all of you to understand that. If you think it, you might as well do it. That is not what the Word of God says. It is, on the other hand, it is very serious to be thinking things that are contrary to the Word of God. The Word of God says that in Proverbs, I believe, chapter 24 and verse 9, the Word of God says that the very thought of foolishness is what? The thought of foolishness is sin. Is it a sin? Can it be a sin? Just your thinking, can that be a sin? Yes, just your thinking. The thought of foolishness is sin. And so we need to be careful to understand, and I don't believe we'll ever try to bring every thought into captivity until we realize the seriousness of the consequences of our thinking. In fact, I would say this, that almost without exception, that what we're thinking about is going to be the direction that we're going to go in. Whatever thoughts that are in our mind, that's going to be, those thoughts will lead to action in our lives. And when we change our thoughts, I believe it's then that we will begin to change our ways. But we have to begin with the most important thing, which is changing our thoughts. And the expression that's used here is bringing into captivity every thought. Now, that can be two different things. One is that you hold on to good thoughts. Isn't that bringing into captivity every thought? When you're holding on to good thoughts. Whenever the Word of God is preached, you know how the Word of God talks about that the kingdom of heaven is like a man going out and sowing seed. And you remember what happened to much of that seed? That it would begin to bring forth fruit, but then what would happen? The devil would come along and take the seed out of the heart. And so often, we're not holding the Word of God. We're not bringing into captivity. We're not holding on to good thoughts. And then the other thing is that we are failing to control evil thoughts. And we need to pray that God will help us to understand. The Word of God says that as a man thinketh, what? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So it's important that we bring into captivity every thought. I want us right now to begin by going back to Romans chapter 1. We're going to spend a good bit of time, first of all, in the book of Romans, because I believe that the book of Romans, I believe the Apostle Paul, by inspiration of God, is telling us in the book of Romans that we had better realize the seriousness of what we're thinking about. Do you ever think about what you're thinking about? Probably understand what I'm saying. Do you think a lot about what you're thinking about? Do you realize that what you're thinking about is serious in the sight of God? Do you realize that when we're not thinking about godly things, you remember in Psalm 1, the Word of God talks about that man that would be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. You remember one of the things that the Word of God says there in Psalm 1 about a man of God that's going to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water? One of the things that's stated there is that in the law of God, he, what's the next word? He meditates day and night. Now what's he holding on to? What's he bringing into captivity? What kind of thoughts are being brought into his captivity when he's meditating on the Word of God day and night? He's got good thoughts. He's got the Word of God. He's holding on to good thoughts. Now, let me tell you something, brethren. As soon as you try to hold on to good thoughts, bad thoughts will come in. Did you know that? How many times have you ever tried to kneel down and pray and your mind wandered? Do you ever have that problem? That when you try to pray and you try to just meditate and think about good things, so often when you're trying to pray, other thoughts come in. That happens to me quite often, that my mind just begins to wander. You know why it wanders? It wanders because I am not bringing into captivity. I'm not holding on to those good thoughts. And as my mind begins to wander, and my mind begins to think about other things. How many of your minds are wandering right now? When your eyes wander, your mind wanders, doesn't it? But your eyes can be in the right place and your mind still be wandering. We need to pray, God, help me to realize how important it is. Paul here is talking about a warfare, isn't he? In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, he says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but he says that we can pull down strongholds. So it doesn't matter how strong a hold the devil has on your mind. It doesn't matter how big a problem you're having with things you're thinking about. By the grace of God and with the help of God, you can pull down those evil thoughts and you can replace them with good thoughts. Every man that has ever committed adultery, do you know what was going on before he ever committed adultery? Do you know what was going on probably for a pretty good while before he ever actually committed adultery? What was going on first? What do you think was going on before he actually committed adultery? Okay, you're just thinking about that woman. That woman is so pretty. That woman is so sweet. That woman is so nice. And the thoughts. You know what kind of thoughts those are? Those are thoughts that the devil puts in your mind. Those are thoughts that the devil's putting in your head to try to destroy your life. The devil's a liar and a murderer. The devil's a thief, and he'll do everything he can to destroy your life and mine. And unless we as the people of God begin to realize that it does matter what we think about, and it is important that I bring every thought into captivity, unless I begin to realize what will happen to me if I don't bring every thought into captivity, unless I begin to realize the consequences of my thoughts will lead to actions, those actions will lead to death, those actions will lead to my life being destroyed, unless I realize where the thoughts lead to, I'll never realize the seriousness of me bringing every thought into captivity. And there are a lot of thoughts that you might think, those are not really bad thoughts. I'm telling you, any time that we're thinking about and concentrating on worldly things, any time, how many of you ever get up? Well, I don't know about everybody else. I'll just tell you some things that, somebody name something you get to thinking about. I'm not talking about something evil now. I'm not talking about something ungodly, but just something you get to thinking about that you just can't get it off your mind. It just stays on your mind. It's something that's wrong to be on your mind all the time. It's wrong for your mind to be consumed by that. It's wrong for your heart to just be thinking about that all the time. Don't we sometimes get things on our mind and that just seems to be all that we can think about? Somebody give me an example of something that you just have a difficulty with, or a friend you have has difficulty with thinking about something, and it just dwells on the mind.
An upcoming hunting trip.
Okay. That's something I have a problem with. If I'm fixing to go hunting, I'm concentrating on that. I'm thinking about that. I get my clothes ready, get my guns ready, get everything ready, and get excited like a child before Christmas. An upcoming hunting trip. And listen, brethren, it doesn't matter whether it's golf or hunting or work or whatever it is. Anything that's in our mind and that we're concentrating on, anything that is taking place of thoughts that are pleasing to God, anything that proves that we're carnal-minded instead of being spiritually-minded, any thoughts that are in our mind that are interfering with our service to God, any thoughts in our mind that are interfering with our worship of God, those thoughts are thoughts that need to be what? Brought into captivity. What does Paul say? Bringing into captivity every thought. What will the devil tell you? It's all right to think about those things some of the time. I'm telling you, the Apostle Paul said, don't think about it any time. The Apostle Paul saying, don't concentrate on those things. Don't let your affections be on things of the earth, but your affections should be on things above. Go with me now back to, please, to the book of Romans. Look at Romans chapter 1. You may not believe what I'm fixing to say, but I'm going to tell you that I believe the Word of God makes it very plain that homosexuality is an abomination in the sight of God. But I'm going to tell you that the Word of God not only says that homosexuality, if any other sins, are an abomination in the sight of God, but I'm going to tell you that all of it starts out, homosexuality or any other major sin in our lives
major sin starts out between your ears. It starts out in your thoughts. Not thinking about the sin of adultery or not saying that. It's just that if your mind, if your thoughts are not on good things, they're gradually going to go further and further and further away from God. Watch this, please, in Romans chapter 1. Look at Romans chapter 1, verse 21. The Word of God says, because that when they knew God, now we're talking about born-again children of God here. We're not talking about dead alien sinners. We're talking about people that knew God. We're talking about people that walk with God, people that serve God. The previous verses said that they held the truth. They knew the truth. They rejoiced in the truth. Verse 21 says now, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Let me ask you a question. What kind of person can become vain in their imaginations? Isn't that someone who is not vain in their imaginations, but they become vain in their imaginations? As you look at this individual, or these individuals that the Apostle Paul is speaking about, and you come right on down, it talks about, here is the progression. It starts out with them not glorifying God. Let me ask you this question. Do you think you're glorifying God in your thoughts? Do you think your thoughts are glorifying to God? Do you think that the vast majority of your thinking is glorifying to God? Or do you think that we have a lot of vain imaginations going on in our minds? What do we need to do? We need to bring into captivity every thought. And brethren, you're talking about a challenge. You're talking about something that's difficult to do. You talk about something that's probably the most difficult thing in the world to do. It's to bring every thought into captivity. And every time your mind begins to wander, and every time your mind begins to think about things it ought not to think about, for you to nip it in the bud. Bring it into captivity. Say, mind, I am not going to let you keep on thinking about that. I'm going to think about something else. Can you do it? Can you do it? And heads are going yes and heads are going no. Can you bring every thought into captivity? Let me ask you this. Somebody explained it like this one time. I don't remember exactly how it went, but it was something like you can't help a thought coming into your mind. And I think to some degree there's truth in that. Everybody follow that? That thoughts come into your mind, you didn't plan for the thought to come into your mind, the thought just comes in there. Does everybody know what I'm talking about? The thought just, boom, it's there. And somebody said, you can't help a thought coming into your mind any more than you can keep a bird from flying over your head. And somebody else said, that's true. You can't necessarily keep a thought from coming into your mind, and you can't keep a bird from flying over your head. But you can keep a bird from building a nest on your head, and you can keep thought from taking root in your mind. And the way you do that is every time the thought comes, every time there's something you're thinking about, that you can begin to pray, God, help me realize this thought is carnal. This thought is not pleasing to you. Help me to bring this thought into captivity. But let me say this. I mentioned earlier about a little child trying to control me. You think, Walker, you think you can stop me from going to that front door? You think you can stop me? You don't think you can? You think you and your daddy can stop me from getting to that front door? Yeah. See? It's a lot different. And the point I'm trying to get across is that I, by myself, if I try to bring every thought into captivity, it's going to be as futile and as useless and as frustrating as little Walker trying to stop me from getting to that front door. But you let him and his daddy stand out there, and I'll guarantee you I can't get to that front door. Because his daddy is stronger than I am. And listen, brethren, God is stronger than we are. And God is stronger than the devil. And by the grace of God and with the help of God, I believe with all of my heart, we can bring every thought into captivity. We can control what we're thinking. We do not have to think about evil things. We can control it by the grace of God, by the power of God. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. God's greater. Now, what's going to happen to these people that became vain in their imaginations in Romans chapter 1? I'm not going to take the time to read all of this, but I want you to go home and read it. I want you to read about the progression, the decline in these people's lives. These people who at one time held the truth. These people who at one time knew God. These people who became vain in their what? In their imaginations. In their thinking, they became vain in their imaginations. And then the Word of God says in verse 24 says, "Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness." He gave them up to uncleanness. Do you follow the wording there? You come down to verse 25. They changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. For this cause, verse 26 says, "For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections." Why? Where did it all start off? Way back there in the earlier part of this chapter. When they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. They became vain in their what? In their imaginations. It all started out right here. It doesn't seem serious, does it? Thinking bad things, thinking carnal things, doesn't seem serious. I'm telling you, God's Word spells it out plainly. It is serious. And it is important that we fight this battle that we have. And it's a daily battle. Let me tell you something. You don't get it under control and it stays under control. Does everybody understand that? When Jesus had resisted the devil, do you remember in Matthew chapter 4? He resisted the devil, resisted the devil, and resisted the devil. And then the Word of God says, and the devil did what? The devil
departed for a while.
He didn't stay gone. He didn't stay gone. The devil will never, as long as you live in this body, the devil will never leave you alone. Unless he just has, well, he'll never leave you alone. Let me just say it that way. You're going to have to fight this battle every day as long as you live. But you can win the battle by the grace of God. It's a warfare we have. We've got to put on the whole armor of God. We've got to fight the good fight of faith. We've got to do what God tells us to do. We have to bring into captivity every thought. Come down to verse 28. Let me just give you one more verse here in this chapter. You go home and read this entire chapter and you'll see the progression and decline. It all started out with their thinking. Verse 28 says, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge." I want you to think about that. They did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Do you see what that is? To me, that's saying they didn't want to just think about God. They didn't want to just dwell on God. They didn't want to just hold on to that thought. Have you ever heard somebody say, "Hold on to that thought"? Hold on to that thought. Listen, brethren, that's what the Word of God is talking about here when it says, bring into captivity. Hold on to it. When you're thinking about good things, when you're praying, when you're praising God, when you're thinking about the Word of God, when you're meditating on the Word of God, hold that thought. Retain God in your knowledge. Hold on to Him in your mind. He says, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a what? To a reprobate mind." How did they end up with that reprobate mind? Did they start out with the reprobate mind in the beginning of this chapter? No. They started out with a mind that loved God and feared God and served God. A mind that knew God. A mind that loved the truth. But they did not maintain righteousness. And their minds wandered. They did not bring into captivity every thought. They didn't hold on to good thinking. And they did not reject bad thinking. And God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Where did it start out? A reprobate mind to do those things. What did it start out with? Did it start out with them doing these ungodly things that are described? Where did it all start out? In their mind. In their mind. Listen, brethren, if I could get you to do one thing, listen carefully, it wouldn't be to come to church every Sunday to read your Bible every week. If I could get you to do one thing, you know what it would be? It would be to bring into captivity every thought. To hold on to the good thoughts and to get rid of those bad thoughts. And every time the devil puts a bad thought in your head, that you'd grab hold of it, you'd take it captive, and you'd drive it out of your mind. Why? Well, because if you do that, everything else is going to, the actions, going to church and reading God's word and everything else, that's going to come. If you learn to bring every thought into captivity, and if you don't learn to bring every thought into captivity, everything else is soon going to go by the wayside. What happens to you, though you might be in the house of God? Do you think the devil's been here this morning? You know, a lot of times I hear people say, I'm so glad we can go into church where we don't have to worry about the devil. I'm telling you, the devil's here. The devil's in this building right now. The devil is here. Christ is here, but the devil is also here. In the book of Job, the Word of God says that the sons of men came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. Do you know what is true? Every time we come into the house of God, the devil comes in here with us. You can't keep the devil outside the walls of this building. The devil's here. And the devil's working to interfere with the seed that's being planted and telling you all kinds of reasons why you can't bring every thought into captivity and telling you all kinds of things. You can't do what the preacher says. I'm telling you, brethren, we can do what God tells us to do. By the grace of God, we have the power to bring every thought into captivity. Romans chapter 8. Look at Romans chapter 8. Look in your Bibles at Romans chapter 8. In verse 6, Romans chapter 8, verse 6. We're not going to have time to go through every scripture, but I just want you to know, brethren, that it's very, very important that we think about this subject and that we do something about bringing every thought into captivity. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 6, the Word of God says this. Romans 8, verse 6, the Word of God says, for to be carnally living. Thank you, Sister Staldy. Here's a sister over here that's in a chair that she can't even. It's the chair one step worse than a wheelchair. I think they call it a geriatric chair. She can't walk, can't get up. She's laying over there with her eyes closed. I'm telling you, she's right there on the Word of God, thinking, listening, responding. You see, when I began to quote the scripture and I said, for to be carnally, she immediately said, minded. To be carnally what? Minded. For to be carnally minded is death. Is that not true for you because you're a child of God, that to be carnally minded is death? It's true, brethren, that death will come to every one of us, that we will be separated from fellowship with God every time we're carnally minded. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually what? But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. If you want that abundant life, if you want righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost, if you want to dwell in the kingdom of heaven while you live here on this earth, you must bring every thought into captivity. Lock it up. If it's a bad thought, cast it away. If it's a good thought, hold on to it. Lock it into captivity. Hold on to it. You know now why those older generations used to say, hold that thought. Hold that thought. Because it's something that was important. It was something you needed to remember. Hold that thought. Bring it into captivity. It's a good thought. Something to hold on to. Look at Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. The Apostle Paul again speaks to the saints of God at Rome. Romans chapter 12, listen to the first three verses. Listen carefully now. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's what I'm asking you to do. It's what God is telling you to do in His Word. It's what God's telling you to do. Is it unreasonable? Is it something that you just can't do? It's not unreasonable. It's something you can do, and that is to bring every thought into captivity. And he says, present your bodies a living sacrifice. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. What's the first thing you have to do? You can't present your body a living sacrifice if your thinking is not right. You can do everything else right. If your thinking's not right, it's not acceptable to God. Verse 2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let me just ask you this question. Tell me how to renew your mind. Tell me how to get your mind revived. Brother Troy, tell me any way that you can renew your mind.
In the Scripture.
Amen. You get the Word of God. You hold on to the Word of God. I mentioned early in the beginning of the sermon that in His law doth He meditate day and night. Think about the Word of God. That's something that I found to be most helpful this week as I've been studying and think about this, and God has been convicting me of all my thoughts not being right. When I have those thoughts, then immediately I go to the Word of God and I begin to quote Scripture and think about Scripture and meditate on Scripture. You know what will happen? You know what will happen? Well, it helps for a little while, but then what happens? And the devil comes right back. Here it is again. Well, then what I have to do again? I have to jump right back. I have to say, I refuse to let that thought stay in my mind. I'm going to go run right back to the Word of God by the renewing of my mind, by studying and thinking about the Word of God. You don't have to go grab your Bible and start looking at it. You just start thinking, meditating, dwelling on the Word of God. Fill your mind with good thoughts. Let me tell you something, brethren. You can't think about two things at one time. You can't do it. You might think you can. You can't do it. You can only think about one thing at a time. And if you're thinking about what Brother Troy just said, if you're thinking about the Scriptures, what does that do? That's holding on to it, bringing it into captivity, dwelling on that thought. And what does that... Listen, if you're full, if your mind is full of good things, what happens to those evil thoughts that try to come in? They can't get there, can they? They can't get in because you've got this, your mind's concentrating on good things. Singing songs. Singing songs of praise. Have a song in your heart. Have a song in your mind. That'll help keep those. It renews your mind. That's what we're looking at in verse 2. He says, be transformed. Is there going to be a major change? That's what a transformation is a major change. And we're not talking about being born again. God comes and quickens us and makes us alive. That's the new birth, and that's different than a conversion and transformation. There is a transformation that takes place at regeneration, but then after regeneration, God gives me the strength and grace and power and responsibility to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. And that's a work, a responsibility that God gives me to do, is to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. And then, listen, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now listen carefully to verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to... What's the next word there? Remember, it started over. Verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to... Now, why is he concentrating on the mind? Why is he concentrating on your thinking when he said, present your body as a living sacrifice? Because if you get this straight, everything else is going to follow. If you bring every thought into captivity, if you're holding on to the good thoughts and you're driving out the bad thoughts, if you grab those evil thoughts and cast them away by the grace and the power of God, you can trample Satan under your feet. You can resist the devil and he will flee from you. And when you do that, you're going to be presenting your body as a living sacrifice. Beginning where? Beginning in your mind. Transforming your mind. Then verse 3. Not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. You're going to give one scripture to summarize or conclude. And you know, almost every Sunday, and this is wonderful. It's wonderful that almost every Sunday, when people are going out of the house of God, they'll say, you know, I thought about this verse of Scripture, and I think, oh man, I wish I'd have thought about that. Or somebody else say, oh, I thought about this. Oh, that would have been perfect. That's what I should have closed with. Let me ask you this question. Anybody have a Scripture on your mind that comes to your mind right now in connection with bringing every thought in this sermon that we tried to look about? All right, Teresa, go ahead. Oh, yes. Philippians 2:5, Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Oh, if you've got the mind of Christ, are there going to be any evil thoughts in there? No, not one. Did Jesus bring every thought into captivity? Yes, he did. Can you, by the grace of God, bring every thought? Let this mind be in you, which was also... Somebody else give me another verse, Brother Jerry. All right. Philippians 4:8. You know, he writes to the saints of Philippi and he tells them, let this mind be in you. Philippians 2:5. Philippians 4:8. He says, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are holy, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. You know what it'll do to you? It'll transform you to think about what Philippians 4:8 says to think about. Think about what God tells you. Anybody else have one other verse before we dismiss? All right, Brother Troy?
I am crucified with Christ.
Amen. I am crucified with Christ. And then he goes on and talks about daily. Did you know that's what we're talking about? Is mortifying, killing, destroying those evil thoughts. I am crucified with Christ. Oh, brethren, if we'll just do this, our lives will redound to the honor and glory of God, and we'll be happier than we've ever been. We'll rejoice in the Lord and in the power of His might. Oh, Mama said this morning, oh, it's going to take a strong man to do that, to take every thought into captivity. Yes, it will. Take a strong man, strong woman, strong child. I'm telling you, by the grace of God, we can be strong. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of what? Power. And of love. And of a... Ooh, that was a good one. Listen. And of a what? And of a sound mind. Hadn't even thought about that. I want to get the power, but the sound mind comes from the power that God gives us to bring every thought into captivity. May God help us to do that. It's my prayer for His honor and glory.